Now, local news from Montana Public Radio.
Welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by Lee newspaper Capital reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison. And Mike, a bill to expand Medicaid is likely headed to Governor Bullock's desk, but only after a nasty fight in the House that was eventually settled by some moderate Republicans joining with Democrats to defy the Republican leadership.
It was an extraordinary thing to watch this week, and although kind of what we expected might happen from the very start of the session, and that is that this block of Republicans who are not going along with their conservative leaders teaming up with Democrats to pass Medicaid expansion and perhaps pass some other things. I already did that to pass the campaign finance reform, may do it again on flathead water. But what was extraordinary about it is it came down to a rules battle on the floor of the House over how many votes it took to bring this bill out of committee to the floor, 60 or 51, a simple majority.
And this was crucial because they didn't have 60, the
That's
supporters.
Correct. They did not. They just had maybe 52 or 3 or 4. And when you have a rules fight, what happens is someone brings up a point on the floor and then the Speaker rules on it. And the Speaker, Austin Knutson, who is against Medicaid expansion, was making rulings that would uphold the 60-vote threshold, and then they take it to the Rules Committee, which always upholds the Speaker, but then it comes to the floor, and they use their majority power in favor of this bill to override his decisions on the rules and say, the rules say what we say they are, and that means we only need 51 votes. And that's what happened twice, overruling the Rules Committee and the Speaker, which is pretty extraordinary. I've only seen it happen maybe once or twice in 30 years.
Conrad Republican Rob Cook is one of the moderates who supports Medicaid expansion, and he had some harsh words for his party.
What brought me around to this sort of action is the last 6 years of no from the Republican Party and an unwillingness to work on a health care solution at all. And lost in the fight over the Affordable Care Act is the fact that the old system was broke too, and there was never any motion to refine the system, to try to find a solution to the costs of uncompensated care and bad debt.
And Mike, he's basically saying that Republicans failed to come up with a better idea.
Yes, he is. But also in that same conversation, he went on to say, talk about rural hospitals and how much money they could get from Medicaid expansion to help pay for uncompensated care. And I think this is an important point, that a lot of these Republicans who voted for it are from rural areas, and they're looking at their hospitals and saying, we want to keep these hospitals open so they can serve our population and keep them close to home rather than having to travel to Great Falls or Billings or wherever to get the medical care they need. And if you pass Medicaid expansion, these hospitals who are seeing lots of people who don't have insurance and just writing off their care are going to get a lot of money and help them stay open and keep serving this population.
There was a lot of lobbying on this issue from constituents, and this is one example, isn't it, Mike, where constituent voices were heard by those who wanted Medicaid expansion to be approved by the legislature.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And also, I mean, let's be honest, the healthcare lobby, you know, the hospitals, insurers, doctors, mental health providers, you know, lots of people with, shall we say, a little bit of political clout were for this bill. And, yeah, that's one of the reasons it passed, too.
Well, this is not the bill that Governor Bullock wanted, and it doesn't cover as many Montanans as he wanted. It's about 45,000 who will be covered versus the 70,000 in his bill. But is there any doubt he will sign it?
I don't think so. I mean, he worked closely with the sponsor, Senator Ed Buttrey, Republican from Great Falls, on the bill. His health policy advisor, very much involved in the drafting of this bill. I think he's going to sign it. And that the 45,000, you know, that's just an estimate over the next 4 years. You know, it's quite possible there could be more. It depends on how many people out there are able and want to pay the premium to get on this program, which is pretty small, 2% of your income. So if you're making, say, $10,000, it's $200 for the entire year. And there's some other things, some asset tests and such. But I think it could be more people than we think signing up for this program.
Obviously, it's a big priority for the administration, Medicaid expansion. And Chuck, the other big fight that remains is over the state budget. And the Senate this week passed a $10 billion budget bill after adding $23 million over what the House had approved. But the budget still doesn't cover a lot of what the governor wants, and it's not at all probably going to be the final say.
No, the governor, after the Senate took the action, didn't utter the words veto as he did when it passed the House, but he emphasized there were many items that he felt needed to be added. But the budget is always a work in progress. What will likely happen is the House will reject the Senate amendments, and that forces it to conference committee, where three senators and three representatives, with Republicans getting two on each side, will really hash out the budget, and it will be what's called a free conference committee, and that means they don't just have to worry about the issues where they didn't agree on. They can put stuff in that was never in before, they can add anything they want, and then that goes back to both houses. So I think the governor and his people will be working hard to try to get various initiatives they had in that budget that the conference committee is working on. But I think he's pleased with what the Senate did, but like you say, doesn't feel like it went far enough.
One area it doesn't go far enough from the governor's point of view is on the issue of pay raises for state workers.
They were in a separate bill called House Bill 13. That bill's been tabled and it missed a deadline, so it's dead. But as Lou Jones, the chair of the Senate Finance and Claims Committee, said yesterday to us, no bill is ever dead at the legislature, so they may be able to find ways to get those raises back in. It's an important thing that Governor Bullock wants. As we talk, there are usually a few state employees, not a few, maybe a few dozen, standing up before the entrance of the House with signs saying, what happened to our pay raises? We want our pay raises. So I think the pressure will build. Whether the Republican majority will go with the pay raises or not, I don't know. But it's something I think the governor will push for till the end of the session.
And something else the governor wants is funding for early childhood education. And Democratic Senator Brad Hamlet urged his colleagues to support that.
What they learn between these ages really makes a difference. Otherwise, we're playing catch-up.
But Republicans like Lou Jones say rural schools would not be able to participate even if this program was funded.
The reason they would have to opt out is it said this must be presented by a certified teacher that has a certification in early education. We can't get certified teachers in these small communities in math.
And there are a lot of objections to funding this program, Chuck, and it probably is in jeopardy, don't you think?
I think barring something unusual happening, this may not make it through the session. I don't see Republicans bending on this one, but you never know. It might be part of a deal to get something Republicans want in turn for giving the governor something he wants. But I think there's not a lot of support on the Republican side for this program.
And Mike, as you hinted earlier, the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Water Compact is the other big item still to be resolved. Where do you think the momentum is swinging on that?
Well, there is clearly a majority of the House that supports that bill. And the question is, can they get it to the floor of the House so they can have an up or down majority vote? And that's what's going on today, and it'll be going on in the next few days. There's a big hearing tomorrow before the House Judiciary Committee. It's going to last, we're told, 8 to 9 hours on the bill. And the Judiciary Committee is a very conservative committee, and the presumption is that the majority of that committee wants to kill the bill and wants to tie it up in committee. And the leadership of the House probably wants the same thing. What's happening is that Democrats and some Republican supporters of the bill are trying to taking steps today to try to ensure that it will make it to the floor. They've already labeled it a silver bullet bill, the Democrats have, similar to the Medicaid expansion bill, which was the same step they took that led to the rules fight that we talked about earlier this week that brought it to the floor on a majority vote. So I think they're setting up a very similar scenario with this Flathead Water Compact bill, if need be, if they can't get it out of committee.
And once again, those moderate Republicans in the House are going to be key players on this issue.
Absolutely. And I actually think that's probably even a stronger vote for this than Medicaid expansion. I'm thinking it's probably in the mid-50s that are supporting the compact. And so if they can figure a way out to force a majority vote on this, then it's going to pass.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be unfolding over the next few days. And Chuck, this is a somber day at the Capitol after the death this week of former Governor Tim Babcock, who died at the age of 95, and his body is lying in state at the Capitol. He was a huge figure in Montana Republican circles for decades.
No question about that, Sally. He was Mr. Republican in the state. You know, most governors, when they're done governing, they kind of disappear into the woodwork and let newer people take over, and you don't see them at party conventions and political events. Tim Babcock was just the opposite. He remained active in the Republican Party up until he started becoming ill a few months ago. And I talked to some Republicans who said the first step that any Republican who was thinking of running for statewide office took was call on Governor Babcock and try to get advice from him and hopefully his support. I think you could even argue that he had more influence on the state after he governed than he did, because he continued to influence the Republican Party. He was a revered figure. I think even Democrats liked him a lot. He was active, helped raise money for a lot of causes. He was at every event. Just a gentleman who did a lot for the state as governor and after he was governor.
And of course, he came into office because his predecessor was killed in a plane crash.
His predecessor was Don Nutter, who was killed in a plane crash in January of 1962, a blizzard at Wolf Creek Canyon, and the plane went down along with a number of the governor's aides and National Guard pilots and the like. And Babcock often said he was the only governor in state history to take the oath of office with tears in his eyes. He and Nutter were best friends.
Part of his colorful history is that during the Watergate scandal, Governor Babcock, he wasn't governor at that time, but he was sentenced to prison for making an illegal political donation to Richard Nixon.
Yes, he was working for Armin Hammer, the oil billionaire, sort of a government relations person in Washington, and this was kind of a minor part of Watergate, but Babcock gave donations in his name and some of his friends, $54,000 of donations, that went to the committee to reelect the president, and it was thought to be the hush money to hush up Howard Hunt, one of the Watergate burglars. Babcock always maintained he was told to do it by Hammer. Hammer denied it, but the judge, in the end, did not sentence Babcock to jail. He fined him and told him he was just the bag man for Hammer, who also got a light sentence.
As you say, Governor Babcock had friends on both sides of the aisle and went on to become an elder statesman in Montana politics. And I have been speaking with Lee newspaper Capitol reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and you've been listening to Capitol Talk. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and we hope you join us again next week. Chuck and Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Sally.